If you have your Bible, open to John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, you need to get one. Amen? And I'm sure somebody here would even help you find one. If you don't have one, they do something to make sure you get a Bible. But John chapter 15. We've been in this. We started Wednesday night in John chapter 15, and we looked at the secret of living, and the secret of living is fruit bearing, right? The secret of fruit bearing is abiding, and the secret of abiding is obeying. Well, this morning we're going to talk to you about the secret of obeying. Okay, and so we're going to look at that, and the secret of obeying ultimately is loving. But let's look at this chapter, and we're going to take some time to read it this morning because we've kind of jumped in, and some of you haven't been here or you've been watching online, so we're going to just take the time to start with verse 1 of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have seen me from the beginning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit bear witness of you today. May Jesus Christ be lifted up today. May you draw all men to yourself today. Lord, would you take the blinders off the eyes of those who have not seen and who have not believed and who have not known you. Lord, may they see and may they hear with their ears, the ears of faith, and may they believe with their heart. And Lord, if there's someone here or someone hearing this message right now that does not know you as Savior, O Holy Spirit, bring conviction. O Holy Spirit, cause them to see the truth of Jesus. Lord Jesus, our Savior, may you save for your glory. And Lord, would you change us into the image of your Son, and we'll give you all the praise for it. Help us now, we ask it. Lord, hide me behind the cross. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. And to him be the glory. Amen. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you'll bear fruit. But the only way you'll bear fruit is if you abide in him. And that means you have to be connected. You have to be connected to the vine. The vine and the branches. And then when you bear fruit, how do you bear fruit? It's because you're connected. Because you're abiding. You're connected to him. And we learned last night that if we're going to stay connected, we have to live in obedience. But one of the hardest things for us is to obey. I don't know if you had trouble growing up as a child obeying. I don't know. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you ever broke the speed limit. You know, that's the law of the land, and God tells us to obey the laws of the land. And I wonder if you've ever had trouble obeying the speed limit. We say, well, I go just only 5 miles over so that I don't get caught. Well, I had an evangelist friend. He said, I always go the speed limit because I was afraid my guardian angel would get off. And, you know, he wouldn't ride with me. But, you know, you stop. It's hard to obey. Why do we obey? Now, I obey the speed limit because my wife says, Jim, it says 35. Now, I really want to obey the speed limit. Sometimes I don't look. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't realize I'm going over the speed limit. You have a little thing here in Delaware. You're driving along and then there's this sign that says, your speed is. And every time I come up on that, I have to slow down. I don't know why that is, but I've had to slow down. You know, I'm not going slow enough. Obeying. We can obey, and you'll look at your paper, there are three levels of obedience. We can obey God because we have to. Now you think about that. We have to. We do it because we have to. We're afraid if we don't. We're afraid of what might happen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, sometimes as a child growing up, we did what we were supposed to do because we thought if we didn't do it, smacko, we're gonna have our seat warmed and we're gonna hurt and we don't want to hurt, and so we obey. You know, we do it because we have to. My children would come to church with us and they would start wiggling around in the seat and they would be doing this and that. And my wife had she didn't spank them. She pinched them. She'd grab them right by the back of the arm and she'd pinch them. And if they said, ow, then it was worse. You know, they knew. My mother would get my attention. I would go to church as a child and she had me sitting on the front and she sang in the choir. And if I was messing around, if I looked up and she guided me with her eyes. She gave me a stare. And that stare, if stares could kill, I was done. You know, I knew I was in trouble already. I straighten up. Why? I have to. I'm thinking about this. If we willfully obey God, excuse me, if we willfully disobey God, think about this. If we willfully disobey God and you're His child, what is He going to do? He's going to chasten us. The Bible tells us that He chastens every son, and we're going to be chastened. For this reason, we fear Him. We don't want to be chastened of the Lord. We don't want to be spanked by God. And so sometimes we just obey because we know that we don't want the consequences of what happens when we disobey. We just do it because we feel like we have to. We fear Him. But fear is, now I'll say this kindly, and make sure you understand it. We're to fear the Lord. And there, that is a right response, fear the Lord. But as a child of God, we're not to fear His punishment, we're to reverence His love for us. You know, I loved my father, and I feared getting a spanking from him. I didn't want to get in trouble with my dad. I knew that it was, I knew he loved me. I knew he was going to do something. Look at verse 15. John 15:15. Henceforth I have called you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Henceforth I call you not servant. Fear is not the best motivation for obeying. It's just not. We need to raise our level of motivation for living for God. The servant does it because if he doesn't, he'll get fired. Or he'll have some other consequence. And he says, I've not called you servants. Fear can rob us of the real joy that God wants us to have. And you know, he wants us to, we read here, he said, I want my joy to fill you. I want my joy to remain in you. We need to have the joy of the Lord. And because we're his children, we ought to want to get closer to the Lord. Well, the Bible says, draw near unto me and what? I'll draw nigh unto you. You know, if we'll come to God, if we'll get close to Him, and you stop and think about it, fear builds walls instead of bridges. We, you know, if I'm disobeying, I don't want to look at my mother. If I'm disobeying, I want to hide what I'm doing. I don't want God's examination. I don't want God to see me. I think I can hide from God. And so sometimes we get into that state where we just live because we fear. If we willfully disobey God, He will chasten us. For this reason, we fear Him. That's the second blank there. Fear is not the best motive for obedience, and we've looked at that. Now I want you to notice the next level of obedience is selfishness. Selfishness. We obey because we need to. Not because we have to, but we need to. And we stop and think about this. Peter is an illustration of this level. When he asked Jesus, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 27. Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What shall we have therefore? And Jesus gives him an answer, but you know what he's doing? He's trying to say, what do we get for leaving all? What do we get for obeying you? What comes our way? And you know, children obey their parents many times out of fear, but as they grow, they get a new motivation, especially teenagers. Teenagers obey because they have learned that obedience purchases favor. You know, the young man who mows the lawn and cleans his room is going to have a better chance of getting the keys to the car. You know, I've been doing what I've been told. So, hey, Dad, can I use the car? And so there's a greater chance of that. The girl who has helped her mother in the kitchen and is going to have a better chance of shopping for her new clothes. Selfish? Oh, yeah, it's selfish, but it works. It works. You know, and many Christians live in this bargain basement relationship with God. Their obedience is measured by what God gives them. And if they do not get that what they want, they often turn against God. God, I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been going to church. I even went out on visitation with the pastor. Why are you not answering my prayers? And we get bitter. We turn against God. Because our obedience is not out of love, but it's out of seeking the blessing. And let me tell you something, folks. We need to seek the blesser, not the blessing. We need to seek the Lord. Not what He gives, but we need to seek Him. We need to put our focus on Him. You know, they do not have the obedience shown by the three Hebrew children. In Daniel chapter 3, listen to this. Remember these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember what happened to them? Remember what goes on? Well, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, and they were thrown into the blazing fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down when the music started and when the king said to. And listen to what it says. This was their answer. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what? They were not serving God to get them through the fire. They said, if God doesn't take us through the fire, it's okay. We are going to love God, worship God, serve God, and it doesn't matter. We're willing to go through the fire. Willing. Now, God took them out of that fire. What a testimony. But you stop and think about where they were and what was going on. The third, number three, the highest motive for obedience is love. The highest motive for obedience is love. Look back at John chapter 14. As you look at John chapter 14, look at verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's the motivation. If you love me, you do it because you love the Lord. Why is love the highest motive for obedience? Why is love the highest motive for obedience? For one thing, love centers on the giver, not the gift. It centers on the giver, not the gift. Love establishes a personal relationship with God no matter what He gives or what He withholds. I love Him because He first loved me. And what a great song this morning for what we're thinking about. How can it be that God should love a sinner like me? Have you ever looked at that and said, you know, it is amazing that God would love me. And I tell people this all the time. If you knew me like I knew me, like I know me, you would say, yeah, I'm surprised He loves you. You know? And you stop and think about that. Love establishes that personal relationship. Satan was sure. Now think about this. Satan was sure that Job would curse God when Job lost his possessions and his health. He was sure of it. If Job had been like some believers today, that's exactly what would have happened. he would have cursed God, walked away from God. But Job didn't do that. Instead, you know what Job said? Job said in 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's because of who he is and what he's done for us. Where there is love, there can be no bargaining. Can I say that to you again? Yeah, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Sometimes wives bargain with their husbands. They withhold things and say, if you loved me, you would do this for me. Or you get upset with them and you don't talk to them. My mother-in-law didn't talk to my dad, my father-in-law, didn't talk to him for a week. We had come home to visit and said, how are things going? And my father-in-law said, well, it'd be better if she would talk to me. She hadn't talked to me for a week. She got upset and she said, she's going to make him pay. Bargaining. We don't do that in love. The Lord loves us no matter what. And he continues to work in our lives. And you stop and think about how God works. Jacob was a great schemer and bargainer. He forgot about the contract when he fell in love with Rachel. Listen to what the Bible says. Genesis 29 and verse 20. I think it's just a great indication of love. Genesis chapter 29. Jacob was a schemer and he's always planning things out. So he had labored 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, he thought he was going to get Rachel. Well, he didn't get Rachel. He got Rachel's sister, Leah. Remember the story? So then we come to Genesis 29, if I can get there. And listen to what it says in verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. He'd already served 7 years and he got Leah. Now he served 7 more years. And here's what the Bible says. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. For the love he had for her. You know, it was this love that was motivating him. And so it didn't matter. Another reason is that love does not measure sacrifice. Love does not measure sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15 and verse 13. Our Lord proved his love for us by going to the cross for us. Stop and think about that. He did not measure the sacrifice. He did not think about that aspect of it. He gave the last full measure. He gave everything. He died for us. If he hadn't have died for us, folks, we wouldn't be saved. It's his death, burial, and resurrection that brings a life to us. If we love God, now I'll say this, you think about it. If we love God, we do not measure the cost of obeying his word. We simply obey. We simply obey. Like a father that rushes into a burning fire and goes in because his children are in there. He goes in to bring them out. Not thinking about the fact I could die going in there. I'm going to go get my kids. Like that mother who jumps into the swirling current of the waters because her daughter is there and she's going to save her. Don't think about the cost. Just going to do it. Love that calculates is not true love. Love is the highest motive for obedience because God is love. 1 John 4:8. He gives his commandments because he loves us. And because we love him, we obey his commandments. Why do you love him? Because he loved you. Why do you obey? Because you love him. And we stop and think about it. We do not question them or seek to change them. We do not fear Him, His will, but we obey His will. You know what it says in 1 John 4, verse 18? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So as I love the Lord, I go forward. Obedience, sometimes we calculate, we're afraid to obey. Afraid to obey. But if you love Him, there's no fear. Being in the will of God, in the perfect will of God, that's the safest place you can be. You know that? Safest place you can be, in the very center of God's will. If we obey, we experience the love of God in our hearts in a deep and satisfying way. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I've been reading these to you, but I want you to see it. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Look at verse 8. It says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then look now at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And you begin to work through this and you begin to understand. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You go back to John chapter 14 and verse 21, it says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know what? The Lord's going to show Himself if we love Him. If we live in a relationship of love and obedience, we're going to see God at work. We're going to say, God did that. God did that. You pray and you see God answering prayer. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If two people love each other, they do not need rules to abide together. They love each other and you know, there's no rules regulating the relationship. It's that willingness to give and to love and to take care and to meet needs. When a husband and a wife love each other, they always try to do the things that are pleasing to the other. We're living to please them because we love them. There are laws that require mothers and fathers to care for their children. And I could take you to Romans chapter 1 and show you where we are in our culture. Because we've denied God, there's an unnatural affection. And men are lusting after men, and women are lusting after women, and there's an unnatural affection, and then mothers are giving up their children, and they don't care, and they're willing to abort those children. And that is not natural, folks. That is sin. It's a result of rejecting God. You stop and think about what happens there. You don't have to have laws to tell you to love your kids. You love them, and you serve them. And you bring them up so that they will love God. God wants obedience from the heart. It is this truth that underlies the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this is a little different take, but I'm going to take you back to the book of Deuteronomy. And so if you have your Bibles, open to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Do you know that the meaning of Deuteronomy. The word means second law. Deuteronomy means second law. Since in Deuteronomy, Moses repeats the law for the new generation about entering into Canaan. Remember, the law, we have it recorded, was given in Exodus. First time you have the law given. But now he's repeating it in Deuteronomy. Why does he repeat it in Deuteronomy? Because it's being given the Deuteronomy second law. He's giving it a second time for this younger generation that are getting ready to go into and enter into Canaan. And Deuteronomy is different from Exodus. Because Deuteronomy emphasizes the heart. The word love is introduced in this book because love is the motivation for obeying the law. In Exodus, the emphasis is on judgment and fear, but in Deuteronomy, the emphasis is on blessing and love. Of course, there are in the book warnings against sin, but the main theme is love in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verse 37. Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 37. He says, "And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with a mighty power out of Egypt." God brought them out of Egypt. Why? Because he loved them. What is Israel's confession of faith? Look at chapter 6. And verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Hear, O Israel. You're to love God. Is Israel better than any other nation? No, look at verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." God is saying, you need to obey this because I love you. Now look over to chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand, with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." What is God talking about? He says, because the Lord loved you. What does God require of his people? What does God require? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That's what God requires of us. Hey, you know what? Go back to John 15 for a minute. Look at verse 16. John 15, 16. "Ye have not chosen me." Oh, it used to be, years ago, little slogan, I found it, you know, talking about we found the Lord, and they were pushing this thing, we found salvation. No, you didn't find it. God chose you, and he opened your eyes, and he caused you to see. Now, notice what he says here. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You know what? You've been chosen of the Lord. If you've been chosen of him, you ought to love him. Amen? You ought to love him. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And by the way, I skipped chapter 11. I'm just showing you. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always." So the emphasis on the love of the Lord. Then we get to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest," what? "Live." The secret of living is fruit bearing. The secret of fruit bearing is abiding. The secret of abiding is obeying. And the secret of obeying is loving. Loving the Lord. That's life. Moses made it clear to Israel and to us that the secret of obeying is loving. It is not. Is it no wonder that Deuteronomy was our Lord's favorite book when he was here on the earth? Deuteronomy was the Lord Jesus' favorite book. He quoted from it more than from any other. In the entire New Testament, Deuteronomy is quoted or referred to over 80 times. It is the book of loving obedience and obedient love. And so when you come to, you say, "Oh, I'm a New Testament Christian." Yeah, but you know your New Testament Christianity is based in your Old Testament truth. And you don't need to throw the Old Testament out. You got to live the and preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Now you stop and think about that. Consider this. You and I cannot command others to love us. We can't do it. It doesn't work. Yet God commands us to love Him. He has the right to command us because He always must, His desire is for us to be in His will, and it is His will that you love Him. He commands it. God's commands are God's enablements. That's the other part. If God commands it, God will enable you. If God says, "Love me with all your heart," you know, God will make it possible for you to love Him with all your heart. It's possible. And that's what He wants us to do. Remember John 15, 5? "Without me, you can do" what? "Nothing." But what does it say in Philippians 4, 13? "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, you consider these things and you realize these things. It's possible for us to love Him, to love Him more and more. More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. And the more we love Him, the more we will obey Him. And the more we obey Him, the more we will abide in Him. And the more we abide in Him, the more will we bear fruit. And the more fruit we bear, the more we live. And the more we live for Him, the more glory God gets. We're here to glorify Him. You stop and think about that. Now, there's a secret to loving, and we'll talk about that tonight. Okay? That's the last message in this series. We'll talk about that tonight. And so, how do we close this out? I want you to think about this. John 13, 34 and 35. You want to look there? John chapter 13. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now look at John 14, 15. John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." He just gave us a new commandment. Now he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now look at verse 21, John 14, 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." We're going to see God at work. We're no Lord's working. Now look at chapter 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I have a question for you. Does the Lord feel at home in you? Does he feel at home? Does he abide in you as you abide in him? Is he at home there? He says, we'll come and make our abode with you. Now, we came to stay with the Ryans for a week. Mrs. Ryan welcomed us in and she said, make yourself at home. She said, you can open the refrigerator and get anything out of it. Anything in there you can have. You can go to this cupboard and you can just make yourself at home. Nothing's off limits. She didn't say, you can go everywhere, but don't go there. She didn't say that. She said, the iron's down in the basement. If you want to use it, just go down there. And everything was, you know, my wife and I, we felt at home. We didn't feel restricted. You know, I've been stayed with some people. This is your room. That's where you stay. And when you leave, shut the door. And that's where you go back when you come home. That's your place. And don't open any other doors. You stop. No, we felt at home. Now, you know why we felt at home? Because the Ryans love us. They don't know us, but they love us. You say, why do they love you? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Does the Lord feel at home in your life? Does he come and abide with you? And he's excited about living in you and living through you and serving you. And if he taps you in the heart and says, hey, go talk to your neighbor about Jesus. You say, glad to, Lord. Do you realize that the hands, the feet, the mouth of Jesus are you? He's not sending angels to convert people. He's sending you to go and show them the love of Christ. You're his mouth. You're his hands. You're his feet. He wants you to do it. And it's an exciting thing to do. Now look at John 15. With just a reminder here. Verse 9. The Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. That's a closeness. There's a relationship there. Look at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now look over to chapter 17, John 17, verse 26. John 17, 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. How is Christ formed in you? He's formed in you as you love him and let him abide in you. As you let Christ have his way. What's the origin of love? Look back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. What's the origin of the love in you? Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been justified by faith? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and by the way, if you have not, today's the day of salvation. You need to trust Jesus Christ. Today you need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He'll take your sin away. He'll come and live in you by the person of the Holy Spirit, and He will give you everlasting life. What do I have to do, Pastor? Repent of sin and trust Him. But notice what happens. Verse 5, Romans 5, 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is doing something in you. He's loving through you. He's loving in you and through you, and He sheds that love abroad. The Holy Spirit. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And we've already read this, but I just want to remind you. We love Him because what? He first loved us. 1 John 4 and verse 19. 1 John 4 and verse 19. Now, there's a problem though. And here's the problem. We can lose our love for the Lord. 1 John 2 and verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth His word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. When we love God, we obey His word. And His word enables us to abide in Him. But something can happen. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The message to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, for my name's sake hast thou labored, and hast not fainted. You know, he's saying, you've done so much. You've been a hard-working church. You've stood for doctrine and truth, and you've been there. But now notice what he says. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. What do they need to do? They needed to remember. They need to remember how it was when they first got saved. They remember their love for the Lord. They remember how the Lord loved them. And they need to remember. And then they needed to repent. They needed to repent. They needed to turn from that. And then he says, do first works. Now, how many of you remember, don't raise your hand, but how many of you remember when you first got saved, your hunger for the Word of God? Man, you just, I saw a hand go up. You wanted to read it, and you couldn't get enough of it, and you wanted to hear preaching, and you wanted to be in fellowship, and you wanted to be there, and then something happened. You got busy. Too busy. And that hunger for the Word kind of dropped away. Well, I'm still saying my prayers, but I don't have time to read. You know what that is? That's a selfish approach to God. Because you want God to answer prayers, but you're not willing to listen to God. God speaks to us through what? His Word. His Word. Repent Remember, repent and do first works. You know what it is? It's a call for obedience. Come back to the Lord. Love Him because He first loved you.